So many new faces. Merry Christmas, everyone. I just want to thank you for being with us tonight. Spending your Christmas with us here at Grace means so much when we see new faces. I know a lot of invites went out, and I'm so glad you're here. Christmas 2024, spending the holidays with us. Super excited. I do feel kind of weird because I just realized I'm wearing black and white, and everybody else out there is in their festive gear, but we'll go with it. I think I do have some reddish socks on, so I am feeling the holiday spirit a little bit. I'm not a Grinch, trust me. So, if you are visiting, a couple house cleaning items first. You could text the word welcome to 410-618-1010. Text the word welcome. Now, this is a great way that we would get to connect with you, find out more about the church if you're interested. Now, we're not going to spam you with relentless text, but it will get you connected so you know what we have going on here. And we have a lot of things going on once the new year rolls around. 2025 is going to bring a men's breakfast on January 11th. The legend, Brendan Beal, I think, is speaking. Brendan, you knew that, right? Okay, that's good. All right, so you're in for that. Good. But it's a great way, guys, to connect with other guys. You have food, fun, fellowship, spending some time with Brendan. Chuck, who leads our men's ministry, Pastor Chuck, does a great job organizing these breakfasts. So, ladies, your turn comes on Saturday, January 25th at our next Mugs and Muffins. So it's at Janine Meyer's home, which sounds familiar. So that's my wife. So I guess in a way I'm hosting the next Mugs and Muffins. I don't know. Usually during those events, I hide upstairs in the bedroom. But Janine loves to have guests. She's very hospitable. I like to come down after the event and I graze at all the food that's left over. So please make it a point to be there. We'd love to have you there. One more thing I want to make you aware of is further down the line, I know we're not thinking about February, but February 1st, we're having the second annual GCC Open, our mini golf contest. Thank you for that enthusiasm. I appreciate that. So we intentionally scheduled this, too, on Pro Bowl weekend because we know the Ravens are going to be in the middle of making their playoff run, and we know no one watches the Pro Bowl, So we're on that one. Last year, we organized it during the Raven game. It wasn't the best thing to do. We changed it. But I just gave you a lot of information. So the best thing to do is to go to our website, gracecommunity.org, where you can find things about our community groups, which are groups that get together, fellowship during the week. Community groups, what else? We got young adult ministry. And my personal favorite, our youth ministry, Cross Current, but I'm not partial. But now, with all that being said, I got my job of the announcement guy out of the way. Now I can transition to pastor, and I want to talk about Christmas, right? That's why we're here tonight, Christmas time. Now listen, a few weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago now, I got to go back to the church that I grew up in. So I went to this church and I went to school there. There was a funeral for a lady that I was friends with, St. Michael's in Overly. I went back. Now, I had been in the school building, but not back in the church. So soon as I went into that church, like the sights and the sounds and the scent all sent this rush of emotions back to me. I felt like Michael J. Fox in his DeLorean time machine just going back in time, and I had all these flood of memories. Floods of thinking about all those school productions I was in, you know, as Shepherd number three, you know, maybe you read about it. But I was there with my grandfather, faithful to take me there every week. Christmas time was so special to him. Oh, and then my favorite was the church bazaar, which I have a question. There it was. It doesn't look great, but as a little kid, that was awesome. And they had this money wheel that somehow I was allowed to participate in. So I would take my allowance, bet five on the number three, which was really weird to me how they got away with that. But I was there, and I was wedged between two guys who had just gotten their beers from the beer garden, and I'm betting it all on number three. But those are the memories I thought about with Christmas. You know, and some of you are familiar with the stories of the angels, right? The familiar story, the angels, the manger, the shepherd, the wise men. stories that we get so familiar with that really we forget about what it's all about. And you know what? That's my job tonight, is to remember the purpose of Christmas, because we cannot forget why Jesus came. And that's why I entitled my short sermon tonight, very simply, God with Us. So let's read some Bible to get started, and we're going to go to the book of Matthew in chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 to 25. So if you have a Bible, follow along. Otherwise, it's right up here on the screen. Thank you, Dave. So let me read. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel Lord commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am thankful for every soul that you have gathered here tonight. Help me to communicate clearly, to remember this Christmas season, and to reflect on what you've done for us, how Jesus entered this broken, messed up world to be our Savior. Lord, truly to you be forever, be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I read you that long scripture passage, and I'm really just going to focus on one word tonight, and that's Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 23, right? So I remember reading this book called The Hidden Christmas by Tim Keller. And I remember there was part of this book that really, really affected me and got me thinking about this word, Emmanuel, and what it means for God to be with us. So the writer, Tim, or Mr. Keller, as I should call him, Dr. Keller, made the point that God coming to be with us, guess what, is a really big deal and should not be taken lightly. Because we need to think about up to the moment that Jesus shows up on the scene, right? Whenever the presence of God came near to humanity, how has it looked? Think about that. Those that know your Old Testament a little bit, how has it looked? Whenever God has come near to man before Jesus, what did he look like? I mean, the answer is that he was pretty terrifying. Often when he made an appearance, it was really overwhelming. When he appears to Job, what does he appear as? A whirlwind, a hurricane, a tornado. Terrifying. Abraham, he's this flaming torch. Other translations call it this fiery furnace, this incredible heat, incredible blaze. It was something that just brought about reverent fear. And then, hey, when he led Moses and the Israelites through the desert, he was a pillar of fire so they could see through the desert at night. Second Chronicles, the temple, right? When he entered the temple, he was the Shekinah glory cloud, so powerful, so great, that when it came down, filled the temple, no one could go in, not even the priest, because it was just all too much. God shows up in the Old Testament, and it's terrifying. But then we have Jesus showing up as a baby in a manger. God the Son shows up as a baby, accessible, not terrifying. So the reasonable question to ask is, did God change from the Old Testament to the New? Did God just wake up one day and say, you know what, I've just been been a little grumpy, and I'm going to change the way I do things? Absolutely not, because we know God is the same yesterday, today, always, forever, and ever. But what we see in these appearances in the Old Testament is that it's showing this huge relational gap between sinful man and a holy God, where it began in the Garden of Eden, where the first man sinned by not obeying God, not trusting his word, that we see all throughout the Old Testament. We see this tension. How is this relationship between unfaithful man and a faithful God going to be restored? That's the underlying question. How is this relationship going to come back together? Enter baby Jesus. Because guess what? The appointed time had come. This wasn't God's plan B. This was God's plan A. Because from eternity past, this was the appointed time that God the Father would send God the Son to save the world. Not coming down as this great warrior, this great sci-fi warrior, something you see out of Star Wars, but he came down as a baby, laying all his glory aside, entering humiliation. Second person of the Trinity, Jesus arrives as a baby. Now that should just astonish you. Because up to the time Jesus showed up, God's presence was totally terrifying. Smoking furnace, pillar of fire, whirlwind. I mean, do you remember when Moses asked to see God's face, to actually meet God personally on the mountain? And do you remember what God says? He says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rocks over there, but you can't see my face because it will kill you. But I'll show you my back. And then even though Moses only saw God's back, saw a small glimpse of God, this encounter left his face so radiant that when he came down, he had to put a veil over his face until the glow went away because people just couldn't be around it. The radiance of God was too much. Now, if you could imagine Moses being here today in 2024 and he heard the message of Christmas, John 1:14, the word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 says Moses had to put a veil over his face after seeing only a glimpse of God's back. Jesus Christ has removed the veil. Moses would be jumping up and down in his sandals right now saying, do you realize what this means? This is the very thing that I was denied. This means that through Jesus Christ, you can meet God. You can know him personally. All that majestic glory can be yours to embrace in your life. The terror, the gap, the distance, it's gone, it's removed. So he'd say, where's your joy? Where's your amazement this Christmas season? God has come as a baby, dwelling among us, right? And we're seeing, as we go through Luke on Sundays, Jesus grows up, right? He grows, a baby grows up. Saw a few weeks ago, Pastor Chuck showed us Jesus' first speaking part in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, his first recorded words. Mary and Joseph have their home alone moment where they leave Jesus behind. They go back, and where do they find him? But he's hanging with the teachers and the scribes, debating about the things of God. And what does he say to his mom and dad? Luke 2:49, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Kids say crazy things, huh? I mean, my kids have said some stuff, never anything like that. I mean, but those are Jesus' first recorded words in the Gospels. Then we don't have any recorded words for like 18 years until he begins his ministry, and then he starts to say some pretty amazing things. For instance, he says, I've come down from heaven. So Mary and Joseph's son has come down from heaven now. And he's declaring that he has come down from heaven because that was the will of the Father, that whoever would look to the Son, referring to himself, and all who would believe in him would have eternal life. Then we read in the Gospels how Jesus begins his ministry in the sticks in the Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, proclaiming the good news. You know what? That God still loves the world, even though the world has turned their back on him. He still loves the world. And he says, the time is fulfilled. All that stuff in the Old Testament that was pointing forward has now been fulfilled in me. Remarkable claim. Mark puts it very simply. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The word goes out. Crowds grow. Religious people of the day not pleased. But you know who was pleased? The folks who were wondering about their lives and why they're even here. People wondering about their future, about their existence. Oh, they're very keen to hear what he has to say. And then Jesus starts to do his miracles, which I think you would expect. You know, if God comes down from heaven, the surprise would be that he didn't do miracles, right? So he starts to deal with people that were just left, pushed aside, lepers. Those, he healed the lepers. He deals with demons. The crowds get bigger. People want to see this man. They want to hear what he has to say. Now, there's a story that no more exemplifies this point than when Don preached on this a few weeks back, the paralytic, the man who was paralyzed. He couldn't walk, right? This man hears Jesus is in town, and this guy had some really, really good friends. So they take this man, they put him on a stretcher, and they take him to where Jesus is. And guess what? They get there, and the place is packed. Can't get in. But then they take the stretcher up the side, up the staircase, and they're like, we're going to get him in through the roof. Remove the tiles. They lower him in front of Jesus. What a dramatic picture, right? And do you know what Jesus says to this man? He says, your sins are forgiven. It's a little anticlimactic. I mean, his friends brought him there to be healed. He couldn't walk. Jesus was the miracle man in town, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven? Really? Okay. And the Pharisees, the religious teachers of the day, just shaking their heads, thinking, oh man, this is ridiculous. This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. Because who can really forgive sins except God alone? Only God can forgive sins, right? Well, they're absolutely right. I mean, it's like if Greg gets up right now and goes over and punches Don in the nose, and then I say, Greg, you're forgiven. You'd be like, what? You can't do that. Well, you'd be right, because I'm not God, and I don't have the power to forgive sins. But Jesus did. He's God. Because any sin committed is first and foremost against God. Do you see what Jesus is declaring here? That he is God and the power to forgive sins. They were in the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, and then, just as kind of the icing on the cake, he says, pick up your bed and walk. Now, the question in the world is, why would Jesus go about things this way? Well, Jesus was putting his finger on this man's greatest need, which is your greatest need, which is my greatest need, right? The need for forgiveness, to be put in a right relationship with God. So this man, this paralyzed man, thought his greatest need was, hey, I can't walk. That's pretty significant. I mean, it's the same way some of you are here tonight. Maybe you think your greatest need has to do with your finances, your broken marriage, job issues, illness, right? You're unsettled by this or that. And I want you to notice that Jesus isn't disinterested in this man's physical condition. I mean, his needs. I mean, he ended up healing him, just as Jesus is interested in all that stuff about you too. But that was not his primary reason for coming. Christmas isn't about that. He came to grant forgiveness, put you in a right relationship with God. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Us. Who is the us? Because us is a limited term. He doesn't say God is with all. He says God with us. Who is the us? Is it some exclusive moral group of people that have earned it? No. Who is the us then? Who does God come to be with? I mean, you read the Christmas text and you see it. It's the people who have been invited, the people who are humble. Shepherds got the invitation, astrologers, the outcast, right? Luke, look at the people that Jesus interacts with. If I was building a team, this would not be my first round draft picks, right? These are people that have been looked over that don't have anything to offer. The people who seem like they have no hope, it seems to be that they're the ones that he calls into his kingdom. The people who come without references, without arguments, people who come and don't say to God, you owe me because I tried really hard, right? If you come before the Almighty God that way, you're going to be turned away. Why? Because he wants people who come with no references, with the mindset of, you owe me nothing, God. I deserve nothing. I am a shepherd at heart. You have no reason to accept me, but only on the basis of what Jesus has done, he is my representative. So all you need to come to Jesus is nothing, but a lot of people don't have it because they come with their arms full, right? I have had this hard life. I've done this and that. Surely you need to answer my prayers because of what I have done. Surely you should accept me. The us is always, always the shepherds. So if I have a big idea tonight, it would be that Jesus, our Emmanuel, graciously offers the gift of salvation to all who place their faith in him. Could I have the worship team come up? So some of us sitting here tonight are in need of a Savior. Perhaps you're relying on a religious background of your family. You figure it's kind of a group plan. You all get in, right? Maybe you're relying on something you've done in your past. Maybe something you're planning to do, like one day, right? But here's my final thought, if that's you tonight. Do you have anything to say to Jesus right now? If you had the opportunity to say anything to Jesus, what would you say? And yes, I'm talking about prayer. But then you may say, hey, I'm not very good at prayer, right? I wouldn't know what to say. Would you allow me to say a prayer for you tonight? Because maybe all the things in your life have brought you to our service tonight to meet Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Bow your heads for me, please. Dear God, I'm guilty of rebelling against you, of ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, that I may be forgiven. Thank you that you rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as the center of my life. Amen. So if something like that is your prayer, you will be forgiven. How do I know? Because Jesus said, this is the will of my Father, that anyone and everyone who looks to the Son Jesus and believes in him will have eternal life. You can take him at his word. You can count on him. I mean, we can look at some of Jesus' final words saying that I am going to be with you always. What does he say in Matthew 28, 19 to 20? He's given the Great Commission and he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, what does it say right there? I am with you always to the end of the age. Sounds like a pretty long time to me. He is always with you. Let that be your Christmas present. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's sing a few more songs together.